you don't cut your own hair, why would you do your own taxes? I would much rather see people cut their own freaking hair than do their own taxes. They're thinking they're saving a little bit of money, and they're, you know, in the long run, they're not saving any money at all. They're just throwing money out the window, and it's infuriating.
Welcome to Investing in the US, a podcast for real estate investors, business owners, and aspiring entrepreneurs looking to grow their wealth by investing in US real estate. I'm your host, Reid Goossens, and so far, I've acquired over $800 million worth of investments on various properties across the United States. On this podcast, I interview go-getters, risk takers, and the best in the business to learn more about their investment journey and the cutting-edge strategies they are applying towards building a legacy. For more on growing your own wealth and by investing in the US, visit www.reidgoossens.com. Today on the show, I have the pleasure of speaking with Melissa and Eric Bratton. They found the Busy Bee Advisors, and that brings a smile to every part of the work that they do. And they never want to miss a chance to laugh. And they know a little bit about humor can go a long way in educating and encourage clients through very complex and frustrating bookkeeping situations. And that's what they do at Busy Bee Advisors. They're all about bookkeeping and CPA facilities for the busy entrepreneur. Melissa, in specifically, has a background in corporate accounting and auditing. And brings her desire to serve as a financial translator of sorts to sole proprietors and small business owners that feel that they have the confidence in their financial decisions to make the right decisions for their business. Eric, on the other hand, is here and he handles more of the CPA side. And we're going to hear a lot more about his background. And apparently he's born and bred in Australia or something like that, I heard in the green room. So we're going to get into that and all much more. But I'm very, very excited to have both of them on the show today. It's going to be an awesome three-way conversation with all of us. But Melissa, Eric, welcome to the show. How are you both doing?
We're doing great.
Awesome.
Good. We're doing good. Good. Thank you for asking.
So, Melissa, I ask everyone who jumps on today's show, because you are the main person on today's show, and we brought in your obviously your business partner, but can you rewind the clock and tell me how you made your first ever dollar as a kid?
Well, I made my first dollar as a kid. You know, it's funny because I've really always been surrounded by finance and the finance industry. My stepfather was a banker. I remember being able to, and I was young. I was probably 4 or 5 and being able to go to the bank in the bookkeeping department, which my mom ran at the time, and being able to collect, you know, all of their paper tape that was from the calculators that we don't even have on our desks anymore, and getting paid, you know, $5 here, a couple dollars there for help. So realistically, that's I've been in finance truly my whole life.
That's awesome. Well, Eric, when did you make your first dollar?
My family had a construction company as I was growing up. So I was 7 and I was the job site gopher. And I made approximately 1 root beer and 50 cents per hour.
That's a lot of root beer.
It's a lot of root beer. It's a lot of freaking root beer. I hope the dentist was not worried about cavities at a young age.
No, I think that was more of a cavity because I could trade up, you know, I could trade some root beers up and maybe get a burger for lunch, you know, that kind of stuff.
Awesome. But guys, walk us through the journey to getting to Busy Bees and why it came about, because a lot of people who come on this show come from a place of, you know, frustration, corporate world, wanting more for their lives, you know, financial freedom, a lot of that stuff. Is that where you guys are rooted in as well? Is that the sort of the pain point you're coming from, or is there another way or reason why you went off and became entrepreneurs?
So I'll say yes, if we're going to just give a quick one-word answer, although, of course, I'll expand on it. But yes, I've always had the entrepreneurial spirit, although it's, you know, if you have a background in finance, going to work for a larger company is kind of the traditional career path. And that was what I did. In full disclosure, Eric is not only my business partner, but he is also my husband of 20 years. So he kind of has always been supportive. When the thoughts, I should say, of Busy Bee Advisors kind of came to be, I was working for a manufacturing company, and the pay was fabulous. The hours were horrible. he, Eric, had just gotten through nursing school, of all things. So he was in the process of a kind of a career transition. At that time, the construction industry, which was his background, had really completely dried up where we were. And so he stayed at home for 2 years with our youngest when our youngest was born, and then decided to go back to school. So we had hit the kind of the 4 year mark where I had been the you know, primary breadwinner for the family. And I'll tell you, guys run a house so much better than women do. Like he ran such a tight ship. I was so spoiled, but he had finally launched into his career, which meant it was time for us to take a much needed vacation. So he surprised me with a lovely cruise for my 40th birthday. So we're off on a 10-day cruise, and I decide to call into the office, as you do, to be responsible, and was met with all kinds of disasters that my boss at the time had caused. And I'll say, you know, maybe a little bit of pina colada infused, you can't talk to me that way, or maybe it was just finally relaxing and unwinding for the first time in a long time. But I essentially quit my job on the spot. And then I looked at him and he's like, well, you know, we've always made it work in the past, so we'll make it work now. So fast forward a little bit, we got back from the cruise, life kind of settled back to normal. I, you know, closed out or finished up the things I needed to do at that job. And then I didn't have any prospects. And I had thought about wanting to branch out on my own, but most accountants are planners. I'm a planner. I wanted to plan. I wanted to put a business plan together. I wanted to take some opportunity to have a little bit of freedom, you know? So the one day I decide, kids had just gone back to school, first day of school, I decided I'm going to go for a run, went for a run, and I fell. And I don't know how else to say it, but like in the most glorious fashion that you can say, there was curb, there were leaves, my foot hit the curb, and at full sprint, I fell and went, you know, probably flying through the air and landed like splat on my face. So I broke my jaw. I shattered pretty much every tooth in my mouth, except for my top and bottom four, thank God, and had a 6 weeks of hardcore recovery where I truly couldn't do anything. And what that 6 weeks gave me was this, I know, like it was so horrible, but what that 6 weeks gave me was this time to kind of build in my mind this perfect business. So my jaw got unwired and I was able to, you know, communicate like a normal person. And it was, you know, the clock was ticking. It was starting to get a little tough, a little tight financially for us without my income. And I gave myself 2 weeks to find my first client. And like the 11th hour, I landed that first client, and, you know, it was kind of the perfect situation. They fit into exactly what I wanted to do. It was a short-term project. They were in the process of going from being completely remote to starting to staff an office and all of the things that looked like. So it bought me about 6 months to really build this business. And literally at our dining room table, I started what I thought would be this, you know, kind of small bookkeeping firm, kind of a side hustle that totally operated around my kids and my family. And the rest is kind of history. I mean, a year later, I approached him, you know, firm, strong figures in hand. And I said, okay, I want you to quit your job. You know, all this school that you've just done and you've gotten to work for a year or so in your industry, I want you to quit and I want you to come and work with me so that we don't have to miss out on anything. And I really sold him. And I honestly thought he was going to say no, but I really sold him on the whole entrepreneurial dream of having that flexibility. And yeah, he said yes. And then we had COVID. And it was kind of, no, I mean, like we didn't get COVID, thank God, but he was in the medical industry and it was, so that would have been January that he said yes. And then like our whole country shut down in February and he would have been on the front lines of all of that stuff. And it was just kind of this crazy, I don't know, crazy premonition. And we really, we haven't looked back since then. So It's That's been awesome. Quite an awesome journey.
So Eric, did you practice nursing for a year? Was that right? After retraining?
You know, the timeline is a plus or a minus on that. You know, there was some fast forwarding on some of the story, but roughly I worked in the medical industry for just shy of 9 years. And, you know, she then said, okay, let's get you out of it. You know, after a while, after even like a few years, she was tired of, hey, are we going to go and take a Christmas vacation? And my answer would be, no, I'm working. What are we doing for Thanksgiving? I don't know, but I've got to work that night. So let me know what the plans are. Right. And after doing that enough times, she was like, I'd like you to be home more often, and I would like you to not be any, you know, first responders, law enforcement, medical community. We all have an understanding, and we all realize that our partners, you know, either already feel that way or are going to feel that way. She proposed to me using numbers. She appealed to my analytical side.
I did.
And she said, even if you don't make any money for the business, I make more than enough to cover all of our expenses, plus put away into savings and put away for our boys' futures. That sold me. I mean, what? I get to be the quintessential stay-at-home dad. But then that changed because I started having some immediate successes here locally, and then started having successes, you know, across the country with many clients just randomly. Someone knew someone that recommended me. They listened to us on a podcast. They wanted to ask us some questions. And then these relationships went from being, you know, just instead of just standard contract stuff, it went to being not, you know, very high billables for our company, but also these individuals, a lot of them became friends, you know, because I worked with them so closely to develop their tax strategies to reduce their overall liabilities at the corporate and personal level, that I got to know them through many a meetings over several months. Next thing you know, I've got clients that are actually prepaying to have a meeting with me. And I say, hey, what's the meeting for? Bring me up to speed. Said, I just wanted to know, how's your boy doing in football? How's Melissa? And I'm like thinking to myself in the back of my mind, I'm like, you prepaid for this meeting to have a conversation with me. That's awesome. I ended up saying, you know what? I feel so bad. This has just been a great friend-based conversation. I gotta refund your money. He's like, no. I took your time because I wanted to talk to you. So I'm going to pay for that pleasure. Now, the next time, if you want to give me a gratis meeting, by all means, but this time I'm paying for it. And it's just been a very odd interaction because me and Melissa, we are our own bosses and we set the tone and the rules for our own company. And our clients on many levels recognize that as being a core difference in us as their accountants versus going to one of the big four or going to a local CPA or a local accounting firm where, you know, their average billables are like $8,000 a year and they talk to their accountant maybe twice. Whereas in their billables may be slightly higher than with me, but I meet with them four times a year, five times a year. So it's a significant difference in interacting and being able to feel like they can reach out and talk to someone either for bookkeeping or in regards to taxes as to, hey, what's my best strategy on this? How should I handle this business-wise? Where should I go to the next step? And me and Melissa both spend a lot of time not only going through the process of, you know, generating these relationships with our clients, but then the next thing you know, they're starting to refer their family. Yeah. Like my brother's got a business. And then so that could play as well.
Super interesting. And, you know, hearing your background, Eric, like sounds like you've gone from many, many different services. Because the next question comes up is like, you know, did you then have to go retrain to be in the CPA world and give tax advice and all that sort of stuff?
So my licensing and registration has nothing to do with a CPA because CPAs are locked into working only in the state that they're licensed in for the most part. And so my licensing is, and I'm still working on getting, you know, the next level of registration with the IRS and stuff like that. But I'm a registered tax preparer with the IRS. So that means I can interact with my clients in any state and I can provide advice, you know, to them because they're my client. I can say, okay, this is the next step. Here's the next thing that we want to do, which has really been beneficial because I have clients that have business ventures in, let's say they live in Texas, but they got business ventures in North Dakota and Florida and Arizona and New Mexico. And I'm like, they're not a problem. I can help you with all of those. Like, oh, we have a corporate entity that's in Delaware, but does business in Singapore as well. Not a problem. Let's roll that into the contract because I'm able to help them all. And Melissa is able to work with them on so many levels because she has a corporate finance background. So she sees all of these different moving pieces of their corporation, and she's really able to kind of stitch them together to be more cohesive so that the owners of these businesses can have a better financial picture.
Yep. Gotcha. So let's talk about some of the nitty gritty of what you guys do. So you've got the bookkeeping side. So Melissa, I was just, you know, bitching and moaning in the green room that I'm transitioning my internal bookkeeping from a third party to someone internal to RSN, and it's, you know, there's a lot of onboarding, and it is offshore, I will say. So in Latin America, which has been, you know, and I'm sure I'd love to hear your take on US-based versus international, but that's been a huge game changer across the industry from virtual assistants. But I'm interested to know about type of the services you provide, and then how that. Do you upsell into Eric's tax advice, or is it the other way around? Like, it's such a beautiful synergy that I think the underlying theme of the show is you two, right? Is your relationship to work right. as husband or as wife, but then also to create a business that can be synergistic in the products that you produce for your clients, right?
Sure. And there is, it's exactly what you said. There is so much synergy. So when it was myself, and then I had a junior accounting person who helped me kind of run things. And I believe at that time I had 7 bookkeepers that were all local that worked for BusyBee Advisors. What we constantly were like, and Eric would hear me like just so frustrated because we would do this excellent work for these clients and then they would go to a tax professional and there would be no pushback. There would be no asking questions. There would be no like things that I knew that their tax person should be asking about, they weren't asking about. And I've had a tax license since 2012. It's just something that's always been interesting to me. It helped me in different positions as far as just having that additional knowledge with, you know, staying on top of tax laws. And I really enjoy reading and studying tax law. So I think I'm a little bit different when it comes to that. So it gave me an excuse to stay in the loop on that. But there would be things where, you know, I'm going to stay in my lane because I'm just acting in the capacity as your bookkeeper. I don't want to step on any toes, but I'm finding that like, okay, so here's, you know, a tax person that I can't refer clients to. Here's a tax person I can't refer clients to. And at one point we had a little over 300 bookkeeping clients that we were working with on a monthly basis. So of these 300 clients, let's say half of them, and that's being pretty conservative, let's say half of them are either dissatisfied with their tax person or because of the niche that we kind of serve, we're working with newer businesses, we're working with people who maybe this is their first time needing to work with a tax professional for their business. And they're coming to me and they're saying, who do you recommend? And at one point I'm like, I have nobody, like I have literally nobody that I can recommend. I'm ready to start just doing it myself. He of course is like, okay, so literally you would just not sleep or eat or have any time for anything. So we're going to say no to that. And let's see, you know, let's see who's out there. And he helped me. I mean, he's my partner in life and, you know, now my business partner, but really to find a few tax professionals that we trusted enough to refer our clients to. And we had to have been like, we were like a cash cow for these tax firms because they're getting, you know, not onesie twosie referrals, but like 10 to 20 clients referred in a group based upon personalities. And what I saw that was opportunity for us, that was kind of part of what prompted me to talk to him, was tax is really where there needs to be a change. I mean, the tax system as it is in the United States is completely rigged. It's not rigged in the favor of the business owner. It's rigged in the favor of the people who are, you know, paying probably $20,000 to their tax professionals or more are the ones that are getting the good advice. And it's not right. And it's not fair. And how do we service those people? So we have this built-in customer base. Let's approach on how can we be of service. And so, you know, Eric is he laughs when I say this, but he's a gamer at heart. So he's very much into like strategy, right? And I'm not video games, but like D&D, like good solid board games, right? So it's all about long-term strategy. And every single client became like this puzzle where he just wanted to have a conversation with them about, well, have you thought about this or have you thought about that? And what that turned into was this, we're just able to be of service to clients in such an amazing way. And I don't even think we've really scratched the surface.
That is completely awesome. And to see that evolve into a pain point of yours to then me fixing it. I think that's the overall underlying theme is, you know, a lot of people I interview on this show create wealth not only through their individual businesses, but through business ecosystems and creating other offerings that can, you know, benefit the cycle in the ecosystem. So let's shift and talk about the type of client you guys help. Like you just mentioned $20,000 clients who pay a lot of money. We pay a big, you know, we've got, you know, a couple of thousand units across the country. You know, we have big accounting needs for our tax preparation on our K-1s with our client with our investors. So where do you fit in with the niche of on the spectrum? You mentioned earlier, I think you got like first time businesses and coming to try and figure out how to be more strategic with the taxes they're paying or not paying. Is that really where you fit into? And maybe there's a revenue, you know, we look at businesses under $5 million of revenue. We look at businesses over $10 million of revenue. Like where does that sweet spot lie for you guys?
So it's interesting because the ideal sweet spot for the bookkeeping side of our business is different than the ideal sweet spot for the tax side of our business.
Sure.
There is a lot of overlap. Those in the, and I'm not just saying this because we're on a real estate show, but those in the real estate industry are by far the type of client that I get the most passionate about. And the reason is pretty simple. It's they're just in such a unique position to get absolutely screwed on their taxes. And what's ironic about this group is that I get all excited about being of service to them, but what I found myself saying time and time again to these different agents or investors that I would talk to is that they really don't need a bookkeeper. They're not somebody who has a ton of transactions. They need to talk to my tax guy and I will like promote him and explain to them the benefits of working with a good tax person who communicates with them before the tax year has come to a close and not after, and all of the other things that set us apart. But on the bookkeeping side, they're not in the need. And we do have quite a few clients that are bookkeeping clients that are real estate agents who have, you know, they're doing multi-million dollars in commissions a year. But most agents don't need our services on the bookkeeping side. And we talked about the book, you know, that's why I wrote The 4-Hour Bookkeeper, was so that I could have a resource to be able to give to them so that they felt empowered to stay on top of their finances. Because whether you use my awesome tax guy who, you know, is the cutest, hunkiest guy in the tax business, or you use some other lesser tax person down the road, you still need to have your ducks in order to be able to bring it to the table, right? Like if you don't give your tax professional something to work with, you're not going to come out as well than if you do, if you're as prepared as possible. So 100%. With most real estate professionals are like, that is just not their thing. That is not their thing to keep track of their finances. They're kind of behind the ball from the get-go. They end up in a little bit of debt just from starting their business. And then when those commission checks come in, they are spending them almost as quickly as they are receiving them. And so when it comes to tax time, rarely do they have anything put away. Always is their tax bill a surprise. And in most cases, they're in, you know, usually at least the tax professionals we work with are in like the highest tax bracket out there. So then they have this tax liability that haunts them for 5 years before they can, you know, finally get it paid off. So it's about helping them to establish good, positive money habits that let them focus on their business. So yeah. It's kind of a win-win in both situations.
Have you guys ever read the book Profit First?
Of course. I love Mike McCallowitz. I'm sure I said his name wrong, but yeah.
My wife, she's in the interior design business, and she set up all her bank accounts and all that sort of stuff, you know, the tax account, the expense account, you know, and I'm over here just like, we've got, you know, $600 million in real estate under management. We don't have the individual tax accounts that we, you know, we have escrow accounts for certain things, but it's not like not as complex as like how he was creating, which I think is awesome because I think it breeds discipline. So I guess in the book, what's the main takeaway that people can, you know, get from that type of client you're talking about who's too busy to think about the little, the zeros and the ones? How do they be just what's a couple of the, you know, maybe two or three little tips or tricks that they can be better at making sure they're not having that massive financial burden that maybe come and creeps up on them every year and go, oh gosh, I owe, you know, six figures of taxes, which I had no idea that I even owed, but the money's already been spent. So how the hell do I even pay this off? Like what can people do today if that's a person they're looking back in the mirror saying, you know, I need someone like a Melissa or an Eric in my side, but maybe I'm not there just yet to have it. Like what can they do from the start?
Sure. So it starts with the kind of the philosophy of what we focus on will flourish, right? So if we focus on, I never have any money, I'm always broke, or have all of these negative conversations with ourselves around money and, you know, constantly, and I would say women are far more guilty of this than men, where they tell themselves, I'm not good with money, I don't understand money, I just can't do it. What we focus on will flourish. So if we flip that script and we say, we're going to focus on the positive, and we're going to say from day one, you are absolutely good with money. Nobody's taught you how to do it though. So that's the first step. And that's the main philosophy. And then the second step is I'm asking for a 1 hour commitment from you as a business owner once a week. So you have 1 hour a week, you're going to sit down and this is your hour. And I tell them in the book, set a timer. Like you're eating that elephant one bite at a time. So you are setting a timer for an hour. When that hour is up, I don't care if you're in the middle of something or not. If you want to, I totally give you permission to get up and walk away from it because your stack of stuff that you need to handle is going to be there next week when you come back. So really, if we break it down into little bites, and then we empower people to know exactly what to do, you have a better, more educated business owner. And then it just opens up, I believe, total financial prosperity.
I think the discipline of sitting down and addressing that is so important. The other book I'm thinking of right now, but I can't remember. But just being disciplined and time blocking to saying, okay, this is an awkward thing in my business. I understand it's an awkward thing. I've got to be self aware of it, but I do need to like address it an hour a week or whatever it might be, and you know, eat that elephant. Eric, on your side of the table, what any little bits of advice, tricks, tips that people can do as they start thinking about, you know, ownership in different businesses? How do I own it? Where do I own it? You know, like I know a lot of investors come to us, particularly in the business of real estate, and they think about the depreciation, right? We offer a lot of depreciation from cost segregation. but there may be a W-2 employee. So that it, you know, there's active versus passive income and the losses at which they can take on their K-1 and to help reduce their W-2. Like, people are more than shocked every year when I send them their K-1 and they're like, oh, I can't benefit for bonus depreciation. It's like, yeah, because you're not a full-time real estate person. You know, maybe your wife could be, or maybe your partner could be. So that's like, you know, what are the tips and tricks there that you would advise on your side of the fence?
To your question, I honestly, I don't know what her favorite one is. So I gave her a chance. She didn't want to take it. We're going to move on. The focus that I say to my clients is that, okay, look, you have a finite amount of time and you need to make sure that you spend some of that time tracking your expenditures, because by tracking your expenditures, you get to offset your income. Okay, excellent. But what about, you know, can you qualify for the 750?
That's my favorite one.
So how do we go about getting you to qualify for your 750 rule? And some people think, well, geez, Louise, 750 hours, that's what I need to be qualified according to the IRS as a tax professional or as a real estate professional. How do I go about doing that? And I'm like, well, you know, how often are you on the phone during the week? You know, depending upon how many properties. That's truly that's the one right there. But how often are you on the phone, because you're your own property manager for that rental unit, right? And how you're on the phone, clients, you know, your renter's freaking out because water broke, and you're like, okay, go outside, turn off the main, I'm sending a plumber right now, etc. How often are you on the phone for that kind of stuff, and can you track that? Are you doing a remodel? Were you there doing sweat equity for 8 hours a day, Saturday and Sunday, right? Were you there doing cleanup? Were you there hanging sheetrock, painting, whatever it was? These are all things that you're doing as part of your ownership of this property. That time has a value to it. And let's see if we can't maximize it. Because if we can convert you from being a passive income to an active income, that's awesome, right? Because that means that you get to take advantage of gains or losses in the year that it happens. Well, how else can I do that besides the 750 rule? Well, okay, we can go to short-term rentals. Well, how do we qualify for that? Okay, here's the bullet points. We're going to go down them, right? And having those conversations with them gives them better opportunities to make their own decisions on how they want to run their business. Or then they say, you know what? Yeah, maybe I've been looking at this 5-door deal and I think I want to pick it up. I think I want to go and pick it up, because I see how already it will benefit me by converting me from being, you know, a 500 or a 650 hours on an annual basis to I can hit that 750 real easy at that point. And I just brought on 5 new doors and I'm going to be renting out, and I'm thinking it's going to be worth, you know, positive cash flow of about $4,000 a month. Okay, fantastic. The more information that you have at your disposal, the more likely you're going to make more advantageous decisions that will affect you not only in the short term, but the long term. Recently had a client who was in a position. He's like, okay, I need to do this. And if I do this, I'll have a huge tax bill down the road, but I have to pay something now. Well, we talked about it for about an hour, and we came up with a solution where he didn't have to sell the property to cover something that was coming up. And that I helped him reach out to some hard money lenders that gave him a 6-month window on this to float him on a massive repair project that had come up for one of his rental properties. He's like, I can't afford to wait for the insurance company, you know, 30, 90, 180 days on this. Yeah. I need to get this repaired and done now. And so we worked it out. I gave him more information so that he could make a better decision. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of investors maybe miss out on, is that you guys are all savvy in your own specific ways, but you don't know what you don't know. So get people in your corner, either a business coach or a tax person or a bookkeeper, that is willing to have good conversations with you so that you have more data available to make solid decisions.
100%. Listening to podcasts is only just skin deep. It's taking the next step with professionals like yourselves. And I think it's also a bit of a mindset around, like, you know, I see so many people that look at bookkeeping or taxes, and it should be simple. Like, I get it. I'm not going to get in the political side of it. But I say to them, do you change the oil in your car? And they said, no, I don't. Like, well, why the hell are you doing your own taxes and bookkeeping? You know, if that's not your highest and best use, don't do that. Go and do something else. Do you cut your own hair? No, you don't. You go pay someone else to cut your hair, right? These are the things where you're breaking it down and like, this is something that it could literally save you tens of hundreds or millions of dollars in your business just by paying someone a couple of $1,000 as for a conversation, you know, and start steering you. Because at the end of the day, as complex as tax is, and I'm not an expert, having the right advice and the similar systems that will pop up for a business owner versus a high W-2 versus a real estate investor, they're going to be very similar in nature around sheltering taxes, how do you do it, types of entities that you need to set up, you know, managing expenses. That's all the same. Like, it's all going to be the same. It's just about how maybe the individual, the person, the wife, the spouse, the kids, the estate planning. I understand there's a little bit of complexity around that, but by and large, you need to understand how to shelter taxes and where you're going to go put them. And viewing, in my opinion, what the IRS puts out as not a whack over the back of the head of you paying taxes, it's also a book about how you go and create more money for yourself through depreciation and through tax harboring. And when you start thinking of it like that, then all of a sudden your mind opens up. It's like, well, what else can I do with the IRS code? Because, you know, I know as a real estate investor, the government is not in the business of housing. They're just not in the business of housing. But the IRS has set up the code to make it beneficial for people like myself and investors to benefit from that. And I'm not going to get into all of that because I'm not the expert. You guys are.
Right.
But when you start thinking of it like that, then it starts to change the way you approach it. Or you're a business owner. Okay, well, I'm providing a service to the greater America, whatever. I'm employing people. You know, these are all services that the government is not in the business of doing, but they're going to give you a break if you understand how they give you the break. And that's where you guys come into it and be able to tell people much smarter. You're much smarter than I am, but it's again the mindset change of how you approach, oh, scary taxes, oh, you know, negative things about taxes, and thinking of it more and like, well, no, this is how I can maximize it because it's in my best interest, because the government is not in the business of doing a XYZ, whatever that might be. So just wanted to summarize that. Any comments on that before we wrap up the show?
Yeah, just two things. So when we sat down and he's a planner like I am. So when we sat down and we said, okay, so we're going to add tax to the offering of Busy Bee Advisors, but we want to do it a little bit different. You know, that like how do we set ourselves apart? One of the things that we looked at was, you know, that proactive planning. So things change. Things change for families now faster than ever before. And we'll probably in 10 years be saying things change even faster. But it no longer works to have the model where you talk to your tax professional, if you even talk to them. But let's say you're a middle of the road, good client, and they will take your call. But it doesn't work to talk to them after the fact. Mm-hmm. There are so many things in our clients' lives that change throughout the year. I mean, he talks about the, you know, he does a minimum of 4 calls with a client. There will be things that change that impact their tax situation from, you know, quarter one's call to quarter two's call. And you have to have a tax professional that's able to work with you and adjust with you. On the note of, you know, you don't cut your own hair, why would you do your own taxes? I would much rather see people cut their own freaking hair than do their own taxes. Because what kills me is it's not like people are going to TurboTax or whatever software program. And I love Intuit's products, but it's not like they're going to this do-it-yourself software programs and they're actually doing better on what they're getting back on their taxes when they do it themselves. They're like, they're just throwing money out the window, and it's infuriating because it's truly the, you know, the adage of penny wise and pound foolish, right? They're thinking they're saving a little bit of money, and they're, you know, in the long run, they're not saving any money at all. And so that kind of became our second founding principle, which is our mission was to help our clients reduce their tax liability by, and this is a big one, but we stick to it by 30% over what their previous tax person has done. So we actually will not take on someone as a client if we cannot make that 30% impact for them. And that's been kind of the differentiating factor. And I think people need to ask and demand more of their tax professionals. I do. And we could talk about that all day.
I know we could. And we are getting to the end of the show. So to wrap it all up, guys, we like to do the lightning round, the top five investing tips. Are you ready to get into it? I'll ask both of you to answer these questions. So question number one is, what's the daily habit you practice to keep on track towards your goals?
Oh, keeping a daily schedule and sticking to a daily schedule. If it goes on my calendar, it happens. So there's no excuses.
Set aside time to work not only on your business, you know, administratively, but also to reach out to clients. Yeah, having a schedule, 100%. I agree with Melissa.
Love it. Question number two, who's the most influential people in your lives? There's two of you. Who is it?
My kids. I mean, it's been for different reasons throughout the years, but absolutely my boys.
I would say that the biggest influence, day-to-day influences, is definitely my family. So, you know, our youngest son is, he lives a very regimented lifestyle of his own choosing. He gets up at 6 a.m. He works out. He has breakfast. He works on homework and he drives himself to school, and he's always at least 30 minutes early for school. And then now while he's at school, he's doing his thing. End of day, he goes to whatever sport practice that is. And then when he comes home, he has dinner, and then he immediately starts working on his homework. Maybe he spends some time with his parents, but as soon as 9:15 rolls around, he goes, all right, well, I'm going to bed. That's him.
Yeah.
Constantly. Yeah. And he lives that lifestyle. And in part because he sees that, you know, Melissa and myself also have a very regimented daily schedule.
Love it. Love it. Question number three is, what is the most influential tool in your business? When I say tool, it could be a physical tool like a notepad or a cell phone, or it could be a piece of software that you just can't run the business without. What is it?
Monday, a project management tool, Monday. Yep. That was such a game changer for me when I found that, you know, not only could I have this live active spreadsheet that kept up with me, because I have always like so many to-do lists, but it can also work with a team that's now completely remote and spread across the United States.
Last question for both of you is, where do people reach you to continue the conversation that will be in your sphere? Where do they go?
BusyBeeAdvisors.com.
IneedBookkeeping.com.
Well, guys, I want to thank you both for jumping on today's show. I just want to reflect some of the things that I took away. I think, you know, the underlying theme to today's show is, both is your relationship, I think. Like, kudos to you, you know, being a husband and wife team, very supportive of one another through thick and thin, you know, career changes, smashing each other, you know, getting smashed in the jaw and, you know, having to pick up, having been burnt out from a previous job. I think your relationship is probably what is the key cornerstone to the success of your businesses, because you guys care so much. You care so much about, you know, each other. You care about your family. And I think that is a really underlying part of what I took away from today's show. And I also love the fact that you're forcing Eric into doing something because there was a need in the business. Like, dude, you know, get your ass in the gear and, like, you know, you're going to do this part of the business because it needs it, right? We don't have anyone who we can refer tax to. So, you know, like, I just love that part about you both. And so, you know, with the limited time we've had together, I just wanted to share, you know, my gratitude towards you both. And I did, if I left anything out, please speak up.
I'll say the shining moment, because I'm a pretty observant person, but I did notice that lovely rugby ball in back of you. So the kind of moment where it felt like we were doing the right thing, because as a business owner, maybe I'm alone, but sometimes you kind of question of, God, is this the right thing for our family? But I was able to stay home, my choice, while Eric and our youngest went to Japan for a rugby tournament, because they were the first. It was the first year a U.S. team, a high school team, has been invited to play. So they were in Japan for, what, 3 weeks last year?
That's awesome.
Just at the 2 week mark.
That's freaking awesome. I went to the Rugby World Cup back in 2019 in Japan. So it was, that's awesome. Really, really cool. That's really, really cool. You guys are a rugby family as well. So, Well, look, guys, I want to thank you
both.
Don't
understand.
Oh, trust me, it's a very complex game.
I don't understand the lifting.
I'm born and bred. I'm actually going to jump off this call and tune into the All Blacks versus England game, which is currently being played right now live. And then the Wallabies play, All Blacks in Ireland and Wallabies play England tomorrow. So, but I do want to thank you both for jumping on today's show. Enjoy the rest of your week and we'll catch up very, very soon.
Thanks, Reid.
Thank you.
Well, there you have another cracking episode jam-packed with some really, really down-to-earth advice from Melissa and Eric. Those guys are truly genuine down-to-earth people. If you have any questions about bookkeeping or accounting and you're just starting out, you need that person in your corner, check out busybeeadvisors.com or ineedbookkeeping.com. Those guys are a wealth of knowledge and maybe the right people to point you in the right direction about how you get started in your business and how you just start tracking that stuff. Because sometimes it can be really, really overwhelming, but it's so freaking important. Back to my analogy before, like, you don't cut your own hair, you don't need to be doing your own taxes, particularly you're better than that. Go out and hire someone to do it. And I know I you do something that you fulfills the business in a better way. So I want to thank you all again for taking some time out of your day to tune in to continue to grow your financial IQ, because that's what we do here on the show. The easiest way to give back is to give it a 5-star review on iTunes or share it with any friend that you have on social media. And we're going to do this all again next week. So remember, be bold, be brave, and go give life a crack.